stop trying to be so perfect all the time. It doesn't matter, and the imperfections are what is beautiful.
So my guests today are Luke Robinson and Madeline Kirby from Toronto-based singer-songwriter duo Robinson Kirby. They released their debut EP Little Dreams in 2021 and are now entering a new territory with their second, Where Are You Now?, which was just released on September 15th. Robinson Kirby's music moves effortlessly between indie rock and acoustic folk with candid, evocative lyrics, and their songs have been featured on CBC Radio and Sirius XM. So I've known Madeline and Luke for almost 10 years now, I suppose. We all went to Berklee College of Music together and
let's go.
And immediately connected just through all being Canadian. I feel like the first time I ever really performed alongside you guys was Canada Night. The like
great
Berklee
country.
Canada Night.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I feel like I just found Canadians down in Boston and just like stuck to them. But
Yeah,
so we've known each other for a long time and I'm familiar with you your music, but I'm very curious to hear about your songwriting journey together and also individually. Mm-hmm. So I'll just start off by asking, how did you each get into songwriting like independently? Like, what was your first introduction to music and that kind of thing?
You want to go first?
You go.
All right, I'll go first. So I definitely loved music since I was a little one. And I think it was like early music is like, for me, like Beatles and Bob Marley and stuff like that. I can like remember hearing it when I was in some basement or something. I don't know. Yeah, not
in
a creepy
some
way.
Some, I don't know where
some
I was.
Random basement.
Bob Marley came
or
on.
Or at a pool party or something.
I was like, where am I?
I was eating chips at a pool party. And I was wet from the pool. And I was eating chips. And I heard Bob
and I
Marley
love music
for the first time. And that's where it all started for me. Anyway, then when I was I think I started like playing guitar seriously and stuff when I was 12, and I was definitely into a lot of like emo bands and pop punk and stuff at that time.
Let's
like
go.
Panic at the Disco and My Chemical Romance, and those bands really inspired me definitely at that time, where I was like, I want to play guitar and sing and like write songs and stuff.
So when you first started writing songs, was it kind of reflective of that sound?
Yeah, and you do not want to hear that stuff.
I actually really do.
Okay, I can send you some.
Are there any like photos of you wearing eyeliner and like skinny jeans?
A little bit, yeah. There are probably some actually on Facebook. I gotta
all right,
make sure
send
those
them to
are
me.
Deleted.
Yeah, all right, but I know what I'm doing after this.
Yeah, and I was kind of getting into that, and then I got into like John Mayer and like guitar, and then I started like getting into, you know, the blues and stuff like that, and then I got obsessed with guitar and stuff like that, and then I got into like Neil Young and stuff, and I feel like that's kind of when I kind of started doing more of the writing that is maybe more reflective of where I am now as a writer, more like not necessarily acoustic, but you know, from that side of things. Yeah,
maybe from a lyrical perspective too. So do you remember the first song you ever wrote independently?
I think I do.
Did you write
I'm
it at the pool
right
party? I was
no,
wet.
I probably, yeah. I don't know, actually. I might have been to a pool party. But yeah, I remember it. It was, I actually have a recording of it. I did it in my friend Tyler's neighbor's basement. There's a basement. And we recorded.
Wow, basements were very formative for your musical
seriously.
Journey.
I never really thought about it that way, but it
makes
sense.
That's funny. Do you know what it's called?
It Can't Make Sense, I think. That's the first song I remember where I wrote like the guitar and the lyrics and stuff like at the same time. I remember playing it.
Do you remember any of the lyrics?
Yeah, it was like I'm sorry I tried to grow. I tried to make it less complicated and tried to know. I'm realizing something snow. I don't know. There's a lot of rhyming. It didn't make sense at all. But then I
Well,
called it
can't make
can't make
sense.
sense. So
Yeah, I
it can make
mean,
sense. Maybe that's why
it's
I did that.
actually prosody within itself. So how old were
Exactly.
you?
I think I was like 12 probably when
Amazing.
I was writing songs with my buddies and stuff in the basement and like where my friend Dalton played guitar. And it was kind of before I even played guitar. We wrote some songs where he was kind of writing the music and I was writing. That was probably like grade 7. And I was writing more like the singing on top. And then I started playing guitar around the same time.
Cool.
I can send
That's
you that
awesome.
song though. There's a
Please
recording of
do.
it from that basement. It's
That
hilarious.
was
My
my next
voice is so
question.
high. It's so funny.
Oh, that's crazy. Your voice is so low now.
I
I can't
know.
imagine.
It's all.
Can't make sense.
Yeah. Oh,
So
it's
what about you,
terrible.
Maddie? Do you remember the first song you ever wrote?
I do. I was just trying to think of the lyrics, but there's two. That Harrison, our bass player, he actually just sent me a video yesterday of us playing at a Berkeley party for Canadian students. This song that I wrote in grade 11 about graduating the next year. I think I wrote it in the summer of grade 11 and I wanted to play it at graduation. So it was something, there was a line about like our gowns and like growing into women. I don't know, something I can't exactly remember. There was that, and then there was another song that I wrote about a boy in grade 11 that also had some snow and ice references in
That's
it.
so interesting because the cover of your new EP is just a snowbank. And then I recall
True.
some lyrics about you dancing in the snow. And I mean,
Yeah.
it makes a lot of sense because you're from Toronto, you're both from Toronto and sort of have that cottage country, you know, very northern vibes, but seemingly that has been very prevalent in your writing for decades. So
Always.
was the
Totally.
first, so grade 11, you would have been like 17. Were those the first songs that you had ever written?
Yeah, I was much later than Luke. I started playing, well, I've been singing forever, but I started really getting into it in middle school and choir, and then I was in a bunch of choirs throughout high school. And then I wanted to start writing my own songs. I think mostly because of Taylor Swift at the time. And
Yes, I get it. Trust me.
I
Tear
was
Drops on My
listening.
Guitar is just iconic. Like that whole album.
Yeah,
I don't even know if that's what it's called, but that era, I feel like
Fearless
influenced.
era.
Oh,
Yeah,
yes.
that
The kids don't
definitely.
even know these days. They'll never know.
Yeah, that was definitely a big influence for me at that time. But I did grow up listening to Neil Young, Bruce Springsteen, Sting, Joni Mitchell.
Wow, very Canadian.
Yes, my parents were always playing that stuff in the car. Sarah
True North.
McLachlan.
That's
Well,
amazing.
yeah, so
True to your
whether I knew it
roots.
or not at the time, those had definitely influenced me. And now it's interesting. Like you listen to all the music that your parents listen to in the car or at parties or in the basement. And then it all came back around for me. I feel like at the time I was like, oh, mom, turn that off. When now I'm obsessed with all of these artists that she's obsessed with, or my dad was too. So
Yeah, I
it's
think
cool.
we mostly reject the music. I remember when I was younger, like I listened to a lot of the same music, you know, like a lot of Sting. My dad actually introduced me to John Mayer, like, you know, his
Yeah.
first album way back in the day, Led Zeppelin, like Dave Matthews Band. And
Oh, yeah.
I always loved it when I was super young, but then when I got old enough to sort of start forming my own taste in music, I just was like Britney Spears, Gwen Stefani, like all the
True.
which, you know, powerhouse, you know,
Yeah.
female artists. But
Yeah.
I just remember like being so emotional about it and be like, I just want to listen to what I want to listen to. And now I listen to that music and I was like, oh, that's,
yeah.
I want to listen to Dave Matthews and Sting. And, you know, yeah. I think a lot of people probably have that experience. And especially as musicians and songwriters, it's very formative, full circle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So obviously you both went to Berklee. Mm-hmm. What did you actually graduate with a degree? Like, did you both graduate as like songwriting degrees or
mine was songwriting or? And Maddie did professional music.
Yeah.
Mm, nice. Yeah. Same yeah. as me and Justin.
Ah.
So, cool. So what made you guys decide to, you know, continue like a higher education in music?
I didn't want to do anything else. So I think I was like, music or nothing.
So, yeah.
And then I was like, but it has to be the most expensive school. And I was like, it has to be, no, not the most expensive, but like the best one. So then yeah. I tried super hard to do that.
Did yeah. you apply to any other schools?
Yeah, I applied to a few just for like arts, like bachelor, right. yeah, yeah. but I didn't really do any other music. I did a little, but they were not, like none,
Berklee
I mean,
or nothing.
They were all like classical music and stuff, right? So I was like, mm-hmm. not really the vibe.
Mm-hmm. I was the opposite. I didn't really know until I went to visit Berklee and did my yeah. audition. That's when I was like, oh yeah, this is it. But before that, I don't know. I was like considering going to college in the States also for like ski racing.
Oh my God.
I was
so really, different.
Yeah, geez.
So different. I was also like, I guess similar, but like poetry and literature.
Mm-hmm.
I was applying to some programs for that. So mm-hmm. yeah.
That's crazy. Wow, I didn't know that about you. It must have yeah, been very solidifying. Yes. Well, I do know that. It must have been solidifying to go and audition like on campus. Like I just had no perspective at all aside from photos before I actually got to Berklee because I auditioned in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. And then I got there and I was like, thank God I like this because
yeah.
if not.
It was. Yeah. After I had a friend, a couple friends that went there too that were a year older than us, so they kind of showed me around a little bit before mm. my audition. And then once I did the audition, I forget who were my people auditioning me, but they were so nice and everybody that I met there was so nice. I just mm-hmm. remember being like sitting in the room waiting to go in being like, okay, yeah, this is it. Like
I
gotta do this. Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah,
I'm glad you did.
Me
I'm very
too.
Glad. So did yeah. did you guys know each other before college?
No.
Oh,
we
okay.
We met basically just like it would have been like a week or two before, and there was like an orientation like thing, like party thing in Toronto, and it was like a bunch of Canadian students like going before. But it's pretty wild because we live pretty close and we have a bunch of mutual acquaintances and stuff. So
wow,
we could have easily known each other, but we didn't. So that's pretty funny.
That's wild. And so what made you decide to pursue like a songwriting performing duo? How long into Berklee was it? Like a couple of years?
Yeah, we were at, I think when we went away to
Valencia,
Spain, mm-hmm. we did the like a study abroad in Valencia where the campus and stuff. And we were playing, we started like playing shows together and stuff there. We played at a burrito restaurant.
A burrito restaurant.
That was our first show.
Yeah, called Black Chili.
Yeah,
a burrito restaurant. I don't know why
for
that's
sure
so funny to me.
Now.
Oh my God! Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I think at first we were just kind of like it was more casual. Like we weren't right away. Like this is like a band between us two, but it's definitely evolved now more into like its own kind of entity, I think.
Mm-hmm. We were writing a bit together.
Yeah.
Before that.
Yeah.
And then that show happened.
Okay. So you were writing before you decided to actually become Mads and Luke, which would then become Robinson Kirby.
Yes.
The glow up.
More formal last names instead of first names.
I love it. I love it so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I really do.
Good.
Okay, interesting. So do you remember the first song that you wrote together?
Did you write? Well, there's Find a Way was like, there's an old version of that, which is on the Little Dreams EP, but that was very early. And then there were some other ones around that time too that we don't play anymore, but there's one. They were kind of like songs that Maddie had started or she wrote most of and then we worked on together. That one, B-flat. I was remembering it the other day.
B-flat, it's called.
B-flat, A minor, C, G.
He was singing it in the car the other day.
That one.
Like, what is that?
B-flat.
Song about trying to escape or something.
Yeah.
That's what they're all
about.
That's
what a lot of our songs are about.
Yeah.
Just finding a way to the escape.
Yeah.
Interesting. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I feel like it's like a, I don't know. You're just, why do you think that is?
I don't know. Life.
It's not always escaping. I think a lot of songs are about that in general. It's just like ascending to a higher realm or something, you know?
Yeah. Leveling
up.
Like,
I feel like I write a lot of songs about that. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's kind of, yeah.
It's kind of like wishful thinking too.
Yeah.
And
just using your imagination.
I guess songwriting to a certain extent is kind of an escape in itself too.
Yeah.
Maybe when you sit down and start playing some chords and start singing something, I feel like you're in that mindset already. So then that sentiment comes through maybe.
Yeah, it's true. Sometimes I do feel like it's almost like the Matrix where I'm like, if I'm really inspired and in the process of writing, I feel like I'm not in this dimension.
Yeah, I agree.
Totally.
Like I'm just like elsewhere. And then, you know, if someone says something to me, I like come out of it. Like it's like an out of body experience. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, it's epic when you can do that.
I know. I feel like, we got to. That's the best part about this career,
do you find
job
is do you
getting
find
into that zone and being able to let all time and space fall away for hopefully more than a moment.
Sometimes it can be 5 minutes, sometimes it's 6 hours, and then
exactly.
You're like, wait, hold on.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I love it.
So do you find that you can like access that space when you're writing together?
I think we maybe a little bit we can now more recently because we've been working together for a while. But in general, I would say no, because it's hard to be, you're kind of like when you're in that space, I feel like you don't have to like communicate your thoughts in words and you can just do it more on the fly. So I feel like that might happen more when I'm doing something by myself, but that's pretty rare. I feel like usually like when we're writing together, we can work on things together and talk it through a little bit more. But I think recently we've done some more where we can just be more instinctual about it. And that's when it's really flowing. It's nice.
Yeah. So do you find that, because I've noticed that, you know, I've known you for a very long time. So I've seen your songs together kind of like come in waves and have different iterations of of you guys, and I found that sonically there's been like they've always kind of sounded the same to me, in that like that's your sound, like that's Robinson Kirby. I can tell when I'm listening, but I like through the releases it's been like I don't know, like different chapters, different kind of going in different directions with your genres. Do you find that, like, because you've been writing for so long together, do you feel like you've found your voice together as a duo, or are you still finding it, or like where is that at for
you guys?
Definitely,
it's definitely evolving over time. I think we've definitely, it does feel like more of a coherent like vibe, but that between us with the songs, like now, but it's always changing. I mean, yeah, like we used to write more. I feel like we the like on this new EP, we a lot of these are more, we wrote them like from the beginning with each other.
Yeah. I feel like this, I guess every project is like this, but this one feels like the most us we've of any other project we've put out.
That's an
Right?
amazing
Yeah.
feeling.
Totally.
It is an amazing feeling.
Yeah, it's nice to like with the genres and stuff. Not that anything is too like very, you know, it's not like every song is completely different genre, but I feel like with this one we tried to have like a little bit, you know, this one is kind of this vibe, this song is a little more acoustic
Yeah.
vibe, this one is more groovy or whatever, you
Yeah.
know. So we had to have those, we wanted to like more with the production of it,
Yeah.
have those different vibes.
Yeah, I was listening through the EP this morning, as I was mentioning, and I agree. Like, you know, the first song is very 80s kind of synth vibes, like super upbeat. I love that one. And then it goes into like
Nice.
bluesy kind of like Bros Landreth, John Mayer. And then there's like sort of acoustic ballads. I love it so much, and
Thank
I
you.
love the way it was produced. I love everything about it, and I love the way that your voices, even like your physical voices together, I feel like have grown so much, as well as your lyric writing. But so what was the writing process for
Thank you.
this for
Yeah.
this EP like? So you were saying that a lot of these songs you started from scratch together. So bef like as someone who also has a duo with my husband, the you know there are some times where it'll be like a song that, like Luke was saying, that I have started and that I bring to Justin, and I'm like, I think we could do something with this. Like, was that sort of the vibe for you guys for a while before you really started like writing from the beginning together, or?
Yeah, definitely. Like I think like that what would like the like Waiting for the Rain, the
That
that
one's
song,
so
the new
beautiful.
one. That's like a duet. That one we were like, we need to have a song where it's kind of more of a duet because we don't actually have that, and which is surprisingly like hard to do. Or it's just not something you think of doing because it's different, you know. We're used to just writing a song where it's from one person's perspective the whole time. So that was a good challenge. And we definitely did that kind of like from more organically. I think it was just like one verse, you know, write the first verse, then the second verse, then the chorus. It was very like, it had to be kind of in order because it's like a conversation, if you will.
Yeah. And so has your songwriting process, like in regards to the steps that you take to write together, has that changed since you started?
Yeah. I
Yeah.
mean, it's always different, but
Like what's a typical song journey look like for Robinson Kirby?
I don't know if there's a typical one, but I guess I mean, I think for both of us, it usually starts with guitar chords of some kind. Sometimes we have a title, sometimes we don't. Usually I don't. Maybe usually you do.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I feel like
Depends.
I like to set the scene, write the verse, you know,
Yeah.
get poetic. And you know, figure out what my characters are doing, if it's about a character or what, in the verses, and then I usually write a bit of the chorus and then bring it to Luke.
It's like a tag team.
Yeah. Give him the hard part, make him give me that one line.
Yeah, it's like it's all leading up to this, which doesn't exist yet. Like,
He loves when
make
I
it
do
up.
that.
Yeah,
That
thanks.
is so funny. I
But it's
do
not
have,
always like that.
I have sort of a similar relationship with Justin where I'm like, I have this, and but I can't figure out where it needs to go. And then he just like says one thing, and I'm like, ah, I've
Yeah.
been stuck on this for like 14 days. And you just, you know, that's one of the most beautiful things I find about having a writing partner is like, they can open doors and windows that you didn't even know existed or needed to be opened. Like having that perspective when you trust someone enough, I think is really beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're so lucky. It's so nice. Mm-hmm. Even with chords and harmony, and rhythm too. Like, I don't know. I feel like I box myself in a lot and then I can bring it to Luke and he'll be like, oh, let's just change this one chord. And it changes the entire tone of that section of the song and makes it hit so much harder. It's so nice.
Yeah. It's like, for me, you gotta always, I try and have some kind of, like, I know that there could be a million songs written with the same music, basically, like the same chords. But I always try and do like one thing different that just feels different. Cause otherwise it's like my mind can't go somewhere. Like I need something that's like, oh, what is that? Not that I do anything too crazy with the chords, but it's just like, or like even just the voicing of something, like a more interesting voicing or a voicing that I haven't like literally just like put your hand randomly on the guitar. I love doing that. And just like with the open strings and stuff like that. It's like,
Did you get that from Mark Simos?
No, I mean, yeah, he definitely talks about that too. But I started doing that like when I was like 12, when I was in the basement.
I was wet. I put my hand on the guitar.
Yeah. Because it's like, yeah, I don't know. It's like you got to have like one thing in there that, or maybe it could be with the production where it's like put one instrument in there that you don't usually have or you haven't heard before, just to make it feel a little fresh, even if, I don't know, someone probably already has done that. But just personally to like open it up and make the song feel more unique to itself.
Yeah, well, and it's pretty insane how powerful it can be to just change one small aspect, you know? Like it can change, like you were saying, Maddie, like the entire feel of the song. Mm-hmm. Like that is one of the things that I did learn at Berklee. One of the things.
Yeah, but totally. Yeah. Changing one thing or realizing that you don't need to change something. Like sometimes it's like, oh, it needs to, I got to go to this. Like, what do we do for the chorus? It's like, what if we just do the same thing again? It might actually be sick. I don't know.
Yeah.
Lyrically too. Like, I feel like on this EP, we were trying to keep it simple. And I think we said that a lot, like, let's keep it simple and commit to this one thing and see. Not to say that we didn't experiment a lot with stuff, but
yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think it's always the chorus is like hard to find. It's not hard to find, but it's just, it can evolve. Even like as we, a thing we do, like as we record songs, we like rewrite the chorus, even the melody, even the lyrics of the chorus. I feel like for a lot of the songs on this EP that I'm thinking of, it's like just trying to make it feel as natural as possible and as hooky as possible, which
and sometimes I think sometimes you don't realize that those things need to be changed until you're in the studio or until you're in the recording process and you're like, totally, this is not right, like it doesn't feel right with everything sonically, vibe wise that we have going at this point. Like it's you can feel those types of things in the moment. Totally. Yeah. And it's important to act on it.
Yeah.
So, as I was listening to the album earlier today, I was just like, I'm very lyrically nerdy. love how candid and like simple and straight to the point a lot of your lyrics are, like you were just saying. I also found that they sounded a lot like sort of like admissions, you know? Like the overall feeling of the lyrics to me were like, I'm admitting this to you, to the listener, to the audience. Is that something you've heard before, or have you guys always written like, you know, I can't recall what song it was. It may have been the duet, but it was like admitting something to your partner. It was like, I feel like I, you know, I can't remember. I wish I had the lyrics in front of me.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah. It's in that.
Like,
one,
I'm trying to be honest with you. It was just very like simple to the point, but like very vulnerable, like an admission of like, I'm admitting how I feel to you kind of thing. Like, do you guys often write in that voice?
I feel like, yeah, I've definitely gotten that before. People have said that to me, like, wow, this sounds so personal. And sometimes I'm like, it's not at all, but it's just, I don't know, maybe it's how I'm singing too. But in that one, that one did get a little more personal, I feel, which felt good because it was like, wow, we're like digging like deep on this one a little bit. And even though it's not completely like real, what happened, it's still, I feel like it's still imaginary, but it's just, you know, it's influenced by your own. When you can get something in there where you're like, yeah, I actually feel that, or I felt that, then that can really make it feel more deep for sure.
So do you guys often write from personal experience or seemingly more like you were saying, Maddie, like, what are my characters doing now? Like, yeah. I'm picturing like a like a fiction novel where it's like, I'm setting this scene and I'm creating this story. Like, is that usually the place from which you write, or is it personal?
It depends, but usually it ends up being some kind of jumbled mix of both.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say also. It's not, I feel like it starts personal, or I have an idea, or I've been inspired by myself, my friends, my family, somebody that I admire even. And then, I don't know, I don't want to say it writes itself, but you know, it
definitely doesn't.
It takes on a life of its own.
Like, we do a lot of work.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of work. It evolves into something more than just.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Me.
It starts to, like, the person in the song. We definitely talk about that a lot. Like, the person in the song that we're writing, like, you start, maybe it's just because we're writing it together that you start to actually be like, okay, but wait a second. Like, what are we, not that we need to telegraph that to the listener in any way, but just like for us, like, what are we picturing? Like, I'm a very like visual person, I think, when I'm thinking of songs, and like when it starts to be like a character and you can see them, whoever it might be, it's pretty cool.
So like brown hair, yeah. 6 foot tall,
yeah,
walking down the street.
Date of birth, sometimes. March 4th.
What's their rising sign?
What's their rising? Capricorn. But that's funny. Yeah, and then that helps us be like, this is more of a unique song to itself instead of just being another like song about some breakup or something. I don't know.
I think it helps you. Like during, it helps us write it too, and then once you have to perform it again, it helps you get back into that place and you know, picture
totally
whatever that character or setting or you know that vibe is. I think it comes across more organically, more authentically.
Yeah, I agree. And do you feel like when you, for example, if you write a song that, you know, you have some personal attachment to, but the situation is like a breakup that you're picturing that you can't relate to you because it's never happened to you. Do you find that as you're listening to and performing those songs, like you find the ways in which you can connect to it in a deeper way? Like after the fact?
Yeah, I think, I try to. I mean, some songs you might just end up never playing live because you don't like them anymore and you can't find a way to do that, but I think some of them it is really cool when you're like, oh, that's what I meant, or like when you realize you did something cool that you didn't even realize at the time, like with some rhyme or something, I don't know. And then you're like, oh shit, nice.
Or like you start writing the second verse and you have the first verse and the chorus and you're like, oh shit, that's what this is about, okay, we're in a whole new zone here, and it changes the whole vibe, meaning. It's so cool.
Yeah, I definitely get that. Sometimes as I'm writing a song, I'm like, oh, that's what this is about. I had no idea. Mm-hmm. You know, you think you're not really connected to it, and then like you're saying, as you're writing, you're like, oh, I think this is where the song is coming from, or this is where it's going. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. I wanted to tell you guys a few lyrics, specifically two lyrics from the album that really stood out to me. And I don't need, like, you can speak to them or not. I also just really wanted to tell you. Okay. So one of them, and I forget what song this is from. I was trying to go back as I was listening and find it. Anyway, I can't remember. I think it was in the first three.
Probably tell.
Yeah, definitely.
Should have sent them to you.
It's Searching for Love When It Was Always There.
Yeah, that's Ocean Under Glass.
Oh, and that's my favorite one.
Nice.
I'm like, I've listened to it 1.5 times. that song is so cool, so incredible. And that line.
Thank you.
Really, I don't know if I just can connect to it deeply, you know, with this search that we're all on this planet for, like, you know, a deeper meaning for everything. But it just really hit me.
Awesome. Sick. Yeah, that song is a fun one to play, but I guess I started getting deep in the lyrics, even though,
yeah, that's good.
It just naturally happened. Starting trying to talk about the human race and stuff, you know.
Well, you know, yeah, and that one's very it's very much giving John Mayer.
Yeah, I think with the recording of that, I was like, because we have, like, you know, there's some artists where, like, you don't want to copy them too hard because it's like, I'm already copying them just by the fact that they inspired me so much. So you got to be careful of that. But in that one, it was John Mayer. Also, I feel like I was thinking of Bahamas and stuff too, like with the background vocals and stuff. We were kind of trying to do something kind of like that. But yeah, that was a hard song to record. I feel like it had a lot of, I could picture it, but it, like, with all the guitar parts and stuff, it's like that thing where it's like, how big or small should this be? Like, is it like a smaller thing? Does it, you know, how does it evolve throughout the song? Cause it's also kind of long too. So you don't want it to, like, you don't want to have it, all the instruments in there and everything right away. You want to kind of let it build as it goes.
That's funny because it's like, it's often the hardest songs are the best at the end, or like the most loved. But yeah, I agree. Mm. I think, Justin and I were just talking about that recently, about production, and like, it's like what we were just saying about what, like, when to keep it simple and when to add things, you know, production wise. I feel like we could just stack guitars on top of each other forever and ever and ever and be like, this is so cool. And then at the end of the day, sometimes it's like, oh, it's actually like super groovy when it's just like one guitar track and bass and drums. And then they sort of like weave within each other. Well, I think you did a really amazing job of it.
Thank you.
And
nice.
The other lyric is from the last song, Oak Tree. And it's Remember Yourself in All the Madness. And I think it's just so relevant and so beautiful and touching. And I love how it's just the last lyric on the whole album, because it's just so important. And I feel like a lot of people probably need to hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that song and that lyric too.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Yeah. So is there like a central theme for the EP? I know I was reading that you started some of these songs during COVID, and they're very sort of existential in a way, but is there, like, coming into the project, did you guys have, you know, a central idea that you were revolving the music around, or?
Yeah, I think it's definitely, when I listen to them in order, it's like, oh yeah, it does kind of tell, you can interpret it as telling us a bit of a story, where like the first song is like more, you know, again, a song about searching or trying to break out of some situation that you're in. And then like the last, and then it, you know, goes through all these different things. And then the last one, Oak Tree, like Remember Yourself in All the Madness. It's kind of like, it's kind of like you're coming to a conclusion of some sort, chilling out a bit, just reminding yourself to just relax. I feel like some of the songs end up, it's like we're giving advice to ourselves, basically.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I think it's kind of a little more We tried to go a little more like it, when I think of them compared to like the first EP, it's a little more mysterious. Like it's not as like solid, like the people, the characters, us, whatever you want to call it.
More NPCs.
abstract.
Yeah,
Is that what you mean?
kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, like you're saying, I think it starts off with a lot of, external stresses, kind of, and searching for a connection outside of yourself, and then it kind of comes back inward. And I think we were doing a lot of that ourselves during the time that we were writing it. So it's definitely reflective of us in that time. And I think, yeah,
That's
searching for
beautiful.
something outside and then realizing, oh, it's really right within you.
Yeah, searching for love when it was always there. Self-love. No, I love that, and I can certainly connect to that, and I know that a lot of people probably can with the past few years, but I think also being at, this point in our lives at our general age, we're probably doing a lot of that, where the external need for validation is sort of falling away as we try to discover who we actually are. That's beautiful. And I loved what you said, Luke, about like writing to yourself, giving yourself advice. I
Yeah,
think
totally.
I completely write from that perspective, probably in every song. And, as I perform and introduce the songs, I often am just like, I just needed to hear this, so I wrote it.
Totally,
and
yeah.
then you're just performing it, singing the words like to yourself. It's sort of a strange experience to have as a writer and a performer. I don't know if you guys ever feel that, especially together, like performing together, like you're maybe even like singing to each other, telling each other, what you need to hear through the lyrics.
Yeah, I'm sure that definitely happens with some songs. Yeah.
You guys find that, as someone who, has a duo with a romantic partner, I hate this question, but I'm still
No,
gonna
it's
ask
fine.
it. I keep
Totally.
like I yeah, every time I'm asked this question, I'm like, why do you have to ask? But,
Yeah.
I
I
know. I
know.
just want
It
to
is
be
what
on
it
the other
is.
side for once,
Yeah, there you go. Nice. It's my
For
for
power
you.
trip.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to know, whether you find it difficult, like, are there times where it's difficult for you, writing wise or just career wise to be in that position? Or alternatively, is it just magical and incredible and beautiful all the time, as I have also experienced in my career? But just, I would love for you to speak to that because I'm so curious.
Yeah, no, it's definitely something that we think about and talk about all the time. But then sometimes you just have to realize like it's just the situation that we are in, and it is, we that's just how it went and how it goes. So you can't like, be like, oh, what if we, do, you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, it's just our reality.
It is our reality. So you don't want to,
But
yeah.
I think to Phoenix's question, it's like
But I can answer the question too.
it's both. Like we do have those magical moments, and I don't know, I feel so lucky to have him and do all this craziness with him. But it is hard at the same time. It's our job is to be so vulnerable with everybody else, and like we already are so vulnerable with each other. But I don't know, sometimes I feel pressure, and it can be hard. Like I don't know why, but sometimes he makes me nervous just because I know him so well, and I don't want to like fuck up, and you know, I don't want to. I don't know. It's weird. It's like I care about his opinion the most of anyone, you know? So
yeah,
that way I think I'm also, like he would say, I'm way too hard on myself. But yeah, I think it's easy and hard.
Yeah, because you like know the other person so well, so you can, if some things become easy, so you don't have to even talk about it, which is pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, sometimes it's like, okay, you think of it, I'm like, I'm frowning because that was a bad note or something, but I'm not, totally not thinking about that at all. And that, yeah, that's like your relationship things that people have coming into, yeah, that, because how can you not, you know, it's
yeah, he's just like telling me to speed up or something. And I'm like, what did I do?
Justin always tells me to speed up. I'm, yeah, like, fuck off.
Same.
Live, yeah. Well, slightly.
Yeah, we could have a long conversation about this.
Yeah.
It is,
oh, yeah,
good. It is funny. Like, I think you're totally right about, like, I'm not frowning because of whatever.
No.
It's like, it's, we all overthink sometimes, and especially people can and tend to in relationships. But mm-hmm, it's such a unique experience to be in, like you said, a vulnerable musical position with someone, and then you know each other so well, and part of that is so beautiful. Like I swear I can look at Justin while we're playing a song and I know what he's about to do, and like I you know, we have harmonies and we're singing together, but I know he's not going to come in on time because he's focused on his guitar. And so, like, nice, we have this relationship where, like, I don't know. It's like telepathic almost. It's like, yeah, twin telepathy. But at the same time, it's like you can press each other's buttons so easily, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it, yep, happens without even, like, mm-hmm, I don't think anyone is meaning to, but it's a natural thing, oh, that occurs. And I made a joke on stage the other day. I was like, yeah, most of our fights are about, like, adding or subtracting one line to a song, or like a word. Or like, you know, if it's going to be straight or like, you know.
Same.
Yeah, totally.
I don't think people, like, we're so strange.
Yeah, I think it's like because you're with, it's actually probably a good thing, but like you can be less passive aggressive. Like we've all been in music situations all the time. You're working with a band or whoever, you're working with other musicians, and like, you know, you, there's a, maybe, you know, it's for the best that you have more tact and you don't say what you're actually thinking about something when it's like a negative thing, but because we are together, we're like, you can just be like, that is not good or whatever.
Completely, yeah, unfiltered.
Yeah,
yeah.
Which is good and bad, maybe. I don't,
you're,
know,
like, that's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go cry in the other room.
Yeah. Literally, give me five. I'll be right back.
Yeah. And like you said, sometimes it's amazing. Like, you can really, like, there's a lot of time that you can cut out from just, like, being super honest with each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's funny. I do have those things where Justin will be like, okay, don't slow down. Don't slow down. Like, come on, keep it, yeah, up. Like,
yeah.
Like, oh, it's just,
keep cooking.
Oh. That's so, yeah, funny. Yeah. Do you, as, well, there are so many parallels between our,
yeah,
lives.
Yeah.
It's actually so scary.
Yeah.
Do you find that Luke, as a lead, like, lead guitar player in your duo and in the band, also like a lead vocalist, do you sometimes get lost in the duality of, like, being a lead electric player and a lead vocalist?
That's a great question. Sometimes I think it naturally just kind of goes to where, maybe if it's a song where I'm more singing the lead part, then it, I'll probably play something more simple or more of like a rhythm part. So, and then if it's the song where Maddie's singing more, then I think of myself a little bit more of a lead guitar player. But mm-hmm, it is interesting. Like, I try, especially live, it's like, it's hard to find the combo of the two, and like, yeah, playing even like some of my songs in the past where it's like, I want to play acoustic because I'm just like strumming like G or whatever, and I'm singing, but then like it's a Maddie song, and now I'm playing more of like the lead part. It's like, And same thing with Maddie when it's my songs. So we've kind of like figured out, we're slowly figuring out more like how to do that all, maybe just on one guitar, or even we like switch the parts of like when we actually recorded it, maybe we'll play, I'll play a part you did, or you'll play a part I did, to make it just feel a little more solid. I don't know.
Yeah.
So sort of just like responding to whatever the song's needs are.
Yeah. In that set live arrangement too, right? Like this summer we've been playing a lot of acoustic stuff, just the two of us, which has been a nice challenge, I think, for us. But then going back to the band, yeah, it's just a totally different beast.
Yeah. I love, we recently have been playing with a full band, like a rhythm section, for the first time as Fox and Hound. And now Justin and I are like, we can't go back.
I know. Oh my
Like,
God,
it's
it's so much better.
so fun.
Yeah, it's so fun.
It's and like there really is something about like playing a stripped down acoustic set. Like I think it's very vulnerable and really showcases like
When it
the
works,
songwriting.
it is like amazing. But like the it's way easier for it to not work, I feel. Like it's so dependent on the crowd and stuff and just like the vibe. Like, and yeah, when you just naturally, when you have drums and stuff, you just feel so much more powerful. Like you don't have to do, like I can just let them cook, you know?
I love that. Let him cook. You've
Yeah.
said
Also, I
that.
get to play way more guitar solos, so
Oh my God.
yeah,
I,
it's always fun.
that is, we have so much in common.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Oh my gosh. So I wanted to ask you also, what is your personal favorite off the new EP song, that is, and
What's
why?
yours?
I wonder, I feel like ours are different.
Mm.
I love Something in the Dark.
I was gonna say that.
Oh, I was, yeah, I love the lyrics. I love the how the production turned out, and that's one of my favorite choruses I think I've ever written. But it might be a tie with Oak Tree too. I don't know. I feel like Oak Tree sonically is somewhere we maybe haven't explored before or been before, so that it was really fun to make that. And I think Oak Tree is some of my best lyrics that I've written to date.
Yeah, they are really good. Yeah, I would say, yeah, I was gonna say Something in the Dark. I love Ross Hodgkinson, played
Oh, he's the
drums.
best.
He's amazing, and he played drums on like all the songs, I think. And I love his performance on Something in the Dark and just the vibe. I feel like we were trying, we were like, okay, we need to write a song that's not just like a sad, like acoustic song. Like see if we can write a song that would be in some world like considered rock. So I
I
don't know
think
if
he
we got there,
succeeded.
but okay, good, nice.
I
But it
feel he
feels
did.
good, it sounds good.
Yeah. It's one that I think I keep saying this about a lot of the songs on it, but that one I actually enjoy listening to myself, and that's never happened to me before with my own music. So
Wow.
it's really nice.
Yeah, that's actually incredible.
Yeah.
Especially this close to the release date, like it was just released. You know, I feel like
Yeah.
sometimes, like 10 years out, I can be like, this is actually a good song.
Yeah.
Something I released like a decade ago, I'm like, oh, that's pretty good. But
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, just having that little bit of distance helps.
yeah, I think it's incredible, and you guys did such an amazing job.
Thank you.
I'll always remember I lived close to Ross Hodgkinson in Boston, and I just remember like almost every time I walked to and from my apartment, he was hauling his drums from Fenway to campus because he was
Yeah.
always like he was a part of so many
Oh
ensembles,
yeah.
like he was always rehearsing, like
Yeah.
just he seemed like the type of guy that just took every opportunity. And I just felt so like, oh man, my brother's a drummer, and I just always feel so bad like witnessing how much work goes into just like,
Yeah,
yeah,
so much
being able
carrying.
to play that instrument. I'm like, oh man. And I
Yeah.
complain about how heavy my guitar is, but
Yeah, for
it's
real.
not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ross is
Yeah,
a
he's amazing.
legend.
He's a legend.
Yeah. And so the recording process for the EP was for the most part at Harrison's home studio in Toronto, and then sort of, you know, sporadically across the world.
Yeah, I feel like we did it on a lot of in a lot of places. Like Ross, he played his drums in LA and just sent them to us. We recorded some, I feel like here even we did random vocals or keys or guitar even. I feel like at my cottage we did some stuff.
Yeah.
Probably at the cottage. Yeah. Cottage recording.
Yeah.
I know, I love cottage recording.
We did some, we recorded some cool stuff at Luke Durger's house, our friend in Toronto. He has this beautiful great room in his home, and we recorded a tom for Oak Tree. That was really fun. And then some piano on I Won't Run in that room, just like using the natural reverb in there. And then we, what did we do with the drum?
Yeah. It's like we got like the reverb of the room for the snare, I think, on one song.
Nice. Well, it sounds so cohesive.
Yeah, and Jack McLaughlin came and played pedal steel. He was on tour with Dougie Poole, and he came to play in Toronto, and we got him into the studio for a day.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
So good.
Oh yeah, it adds so much. It's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, especially with your sound, I find. Yeah, I love it so much. Like I said before the interview, it's my favorite songs I've ever heard you guys play or write.
Thank you.
So I'm gonna close out the interview, and I'm gonna ask you guys, I've never had two guests before, so I don't know really how to go about this, but
true.
I would love to hear from both of you, and it's two questions. The first question is, what advice would you give to your past self, and what advice would you give to your future self? It can be like in regards to songwriting or music in general or your career.
Yeah, for my past self.
Are you going to say don't overthink things?
Stop trying to be so perfect all the time. Like, it doesn't matter, and the imperfections are what is beautiful and what, you know, what matter. I just, what makes you you?
Yeah, don't try and like get rid of everything that makes you yourself, and just like, don't try and like smooth everything over, and because it's you at the end of the day, you know, you got to be careful listening to your vocals too much.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. It actually,
you drive yourself insane.
Yeah.
And, I don't know if I've ever been more frustrated in my life than especially recording vocals myself. Cause there's nobody there for an additional perspective. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, wow, I hate myself.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
And I can't sing.
You need someone to just be like, it's fine, it's good. Mm-hmm. not that we don't re-record things over and over again, but I would say the same thing. Because even if you are trying to make it so perfect that you think it's perfect now, you go back and in like a year, you're going to listen to this and be like, cringe, that was bad. Why did I do that? Why did I do all this stuff? So it's like, what's the point? Just like finish it, put it out, release it, you know, like. Amen. You're never going to make something that's perfectly timeless. Or if you do, you're not going to be able to tell that you did for a long time. Nobody's going to be able to tell for a while. So just do the best of what you can at the time.
Yeah. The imperfections make it timeless.
I love that.
Yeah. What, like, how many times do we listen to classic recordings and you're like, oh, that was so random that little thing was out of tune, or they came in early or something. And it's like, actually, that doesn't matter at all. So.
Yeah, I always say this, but one of my favorite U2 songs, Sometimes You Can't Make It On Your Own. It's like one of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard in my life. And it's so simple. And at the beginning of the song, there's a buzz on one of the acoustic strings. But I always like anticipate it. Like I listen for it. I'm like, ah. Yeah. It's like my favorite part of the song. And they were just like, no, let's just leave
things.
It in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It makes it seem more human, I think.
Also for songwriting, I would say like, don't try and it's not just don't try and explain everything, but like don't try and be too clever, because you just,
you're not.
You're not. And also some of my favorite lyrics, like, again, you go back and listen to some classic thing, it's like, actually this is kind of dumb, but it works perfectly. Like this, it sounds amazing or whatever.
What do you always say? Show, not tell.
Yeah, I don't think I invented that, but
oh yeah, that's a Pat Pattison
yeah.
invention. That's a external versus internal language.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
And for your future selves, what do you think?
I feel like those same things. I should just keep trying to remember those, you know? I don't know.
Look at yourself every day and say you're a legend.
Yeah.
Amen.
In the mirror.
You guys do it together in the mirror every morning. Like Robinson Kirby.
You guys are a legend. You guys are legends.
You guys,
like when we're having moments of doubt, we look at each other. Like if I'm spiraling, he'll look at me and say, "You're a fucking legend. Remember that."
Really?
Well, no, I don't say that. I say, "Did you tell yourself that you're a legend?" Because that's what's important.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's that you have to say to yourself in the mirror. Not that we literally say it in the mirror, but like, it's just a saying we have. Recently, did you tell yourself in the mirror that you're a legend?
Yeah, I think you do have to hear it from yourself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Like the more you tell yourself something, the more you're going to believe it. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
We have a saying. It's very different.
In this
but
household.
when I'm spiraling or when Justin's spiraling, it's very different. But we look at each other and we go, fuck everyone.
Totally.
Which is completely very, very different vibe. But,
yeah,
you know.
No, similar.
In the end, you know.
That was going to be my other thing. Like, just try and not compare yourself to others and everything else that's going on. Like,
mm-hmm. Definitely.
It's hard not to, but.
Yeah, it really is, especially with social media.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I gotta be careful for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I compare myself to you guys all the time, and I'm like, we're just, we're on the same journey.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so nice to have you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it's so great. Even Justin recently was like, I think we should change our name. Because, yeah, anyway. But, yeah. So I'm very, very happy.
Your name is good, though.
You think so? It's very difficult to spell.
Oh, because both things have a W?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But but you can find it on Google, right? Because they both are spelled more in unique fashion.
Yeah, we do have our SEO settings to be like, if somebody, you know, spells Fox and Hound the normal way, hopefully.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Hopefully they'll reach our website, but you never know. You know, on stage we're like Fox and Hound, FAW. Like it's kind of, yeah. Anyway, but thank you guys so much for coming on and congratulations on the new EP.
Thank you.
And everybody go listen to it. It's truly, truly amazing. And yeah, how can people support you best?
Buy the EP on Bandcamp or something, right?
Yeah.
Buy a shirt? I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, you have shirts?
All of our merch is on Bandcamp and our full EP is available on Bandcamp.
We have some vinyl?
We do.
Oh, nice.
For Little Dreams?
Nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, thanks for having us, Phoenix.
Thank you so much.
Of course.
So nice.
Yeah. Mm. It's so nice to catch up with you guys.
I know.
Yeah. You too.
And Robinson Kirby on all social media.
Pretty
at Robinson Kirby. RobinsonKirby.ca.
Yeah.
Wow.
True, yeah.
Yeah,
there you go.
Very Canadian.
Got a rep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.